You know, I like to listen to sermons. I like to read sermons. And last night I was reading a sermon about the, he used as his text that verse from, I think it's in Numbers, where those two men rose up in revolt against Moses and Aaron, and God opened the earth up and swallowed them and 250 that gathered with them down. And how the people started complaining about that. They said, "Boy, if Moses, if you would have done what you were supposed to do, these people wouldn't be dead." And God didn't like that either, and he sent a plague. And the 14,700 people died in that plague. And Moses told Aaron, said, "Go into the temple and get some of the incense off the incense table there. Put it in a censer and go out and stand in the middle of the people." And the Bible says that he stood between the living and the dead. And the preacher in the sermon made the point. He was preaching to preachers. He says, every time you stand to preach, that's what you do. You stand between the living and the dead. And then he got on church members because he says, every time you sit in the pew and you let your mind wander and you don't pay attention, you're not alert, as Brother Chuck prayed a moment ago, you're not doing your part to stand between the living and the dead. And so I'd ask you all this morning to stay awake, stay alert. You're here. You might as well be here in your mind and in your thoughts. If you're a Christian, I'd ask you to pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our service this morning and would accomplish in people's lives what he wants to accomplish. I mentioned a moment ago, I thought we had a wonderful revival this past week. I wish every single person that's here this morning could have been in every service Sunday through Wednesday. The singing was good, the preaching was great, and I think the Holy Spirit was here every single night in our services. And there were many truths that Brother Walker shared with us those four nights, but there have been four that the Lord's put in my heart and mind that has just been going over and over and over all week and into the night, many of the nights this week. And any time he puts three or four things in my heart and my mind, I figure that that's a sermon. Now, if it was 12 things, I'd say, oh boy, that'd be four sermons. But three or four things that just keep coming back to my heart and my mind, I figure he wants me to share with you. So I've entitled my message this morning, Revival Reflections. And I want to share four of the truths that Brother Walker shared with us, and not add anything because he did a wonderful job, but remind you of some of those truths and share those truths with those of you that couldn't be here for our services. So let's pray together. Father, thank you once again that we can be in your house. I ask you now, Holy Spirit, to direct my words, keep my mind on what you want me to have my mind on this morning, and use me. Holy Spirit, use my mouth to share the truth that you want shared this morning. I pray for those that are here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray this morning that they would make that decision to receive him. I pray for Christians that are here that are not as excited about the things of God as they used to be. I pray that you would rekindle a fire in them this morning. We give ourselves to you and ask it to work as only you can work and accomplish in this service what you know needs to be accomplished. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Larry, I'm going to ask you if you would turn the fans on slow so it's getting a little warm. Four things that Brother Walker shared with us that I would like to share with you this morning. The first one is this, and he shared this with us on Sunday night. When God sought us, when God came to get us, we were dirty, vile, wicked sinners. There was nothing attractive about us. There was nothing pretty that would deserve God's mercy and God's grace. There was nothing worthwhile. There was nothing good about us. In fact, all the goodness that we might have to offer up, the Bible says, in God's sight, were as filthy rags. All the things that we could claim that we might say, well, God, this deserves your love, or this deserves your mercy, or this deserves your grace, in God's sight we're like rags. And the prophet Isaiah paints the picture. Leprosy was a common disease back in his times, and the lepers would have to walk around and keep themselves away from other people, and they would have open sores on their body, and they would take rags and wrap around those sores, and then when they get filled with pus. They would throw them on the ground and they'd gather the dust from there, and so they would be pus full, dirty, dusty, or filthy, vile rags. And God says, all the goodness that you have to offer up to me, all the good things, and by the way, that word is plural, goodnesses, all of your goodnesses in the sight of Almighty God are as the leper rags. In the first chapter of Isaiah, it says our sins are scarlet. They're red like crimson. You go back to the book of Genesis, you read where God made Adam out of the dirt of the ground, and all of us are made out of dirt. I mean, that's what we are. And we have a sinful nature that we got at birth, and every sin that we commit just adds to the filthiness and dirtiness of our life. But I'm glad that that's when God came looking for us. I'm glad that God didn't wait until we deserved it to come seek a people. I'm glad that when we were sinners, when we were vile, when we were dirty, we had a God that loved us in spite of ourselves, and that's when He sought us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, when we were vile, when we didn't deserve it, when we were dirty, in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, I'm glad of that. If I was sitting out there, I'd say, amen, glory to God. I'm glad that we have a God that loved us when we were sinners. But you know what happens? Especially to us that have been Christians for a while. If we're not careful, and if we're not reminded, we forget that. We forget how sinful we were. And when you forget how sinful you were, your salvation loses some of the wonder. I think it's sort of like what's going on with the Boy Scouts right now. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you. The Boy Scouts have had a policy ever since they were formed that they won't let queers lead in their troops. And the world is saying right now, well, homosexuality is not a sin. And if you say that it is, if you make it that way, if you treat it like a sin, you discriminate against people. And so it seems like everybody is ganging up on the Boy Scouts because they are standing firm and they are saying, we are not going to let homosexuals lead in our troops. And now you have schools telling the Boy Scouts, well, you can't meet in our building because you discriminate and we do not discriminate. The companies that have supported the Boy Scouts down through the years are pulling their financial support from the Boy Scouts because they say, you discriminate and we do not, therefore we are not going to support you. And if you're not careful, as the liberal press bombards you with that, as the TV news bombards you with that, if we're not careful, we will start to believe that line of reasoning, and we will buy into that argument that homosexuality is not a sin, it's a choice, and we will forget that God calls it an abomination, and we will forget that God destroyed the city for which it's named with fire and brimstone. The world says today, you're okay. You're not a sinner. And if you're bad, it's not your fault. It's God's fault. Or it's your mom and dad's fault. Or it's your grandpa's fault. I mean, they'll help us blame everybody but ourselves for our sin. They say, well, a loving God wouldn't even have something called sin. And a loving God wouldn't even have a place called hell. Well, and by the way, that's what my human nature wants to believe. That's what your human nature wants to believe. We want to believe we're okay. It's not our fault that we're sinners. It's somebody else's fault. And it's not easy even for me as a Christian to believe that I'm bad. But the psalmist says, remember the pit from which you've been dug. We were vile, wicked, dirty sinners. And our God loved us anyway. And our Jesus came to the cross and died for us anyway. And the Holy Spirit comes and He draws us anyway. And when you forget, and when I forget how bad we were, how wicked we were, how much we deserved hell, and when we forget that we were in a miry pit with no hope, when we forget that we were separated from God with no way of getting back to Him, then we lose the greatness of our salvation. And Sunday night, when Brother Walker talked about the potter going out to find the clay, and he talked about how dirty it was, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I'll tell you what I did. I went home Sunday night after the service Sunday night, and I got down on the floor, face first, just like this. And I said, dear God, I don't deserve your love. A dirty, vile, wicked sinner. And there's nothing about me that's good. But thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, dear God, for not throwing me away. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And I spent till early in the morning, Monday morning, praising God that He loved an old, dirty, wicked sinner like me. I tell you what, I didn't need to have another service. All you got to do is go back and remember how wicked you were and how much God loved you to rekindle the fire of to have revival in your life. I mean, you just go back and try to remember what you felt like when you realized that you were going to hell and had no hope and there was nothing that you could do to get right with God, and then there came Jesus and He died for you. That'll get the fires going again. That'll get them burning again. It's just like having the coals in the fireplace and taking those bellows and pumping them together and getting the air in there and seeing the flame come up again. And I'm glad that we got a God who proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the love of God that I'm talking about, you can. He died for you. He died for you. It doesn't matter what your life is about right now. It doesn't matter how much of a sinner you are. Brother Wendell sang one night, I don't know what kind of sinner you are, but I know what kind of Savior He is. And He's Savior enough to save you this morning. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can come and receive Him. The second thing that God impressed on my heart this week is that He wants us to be clean. He says over and over in the Bible, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes, cease to do evil. You know what we're like? We're like little children. You know, little children who mom and dad get all cleaned up and get all dressed up, ready to go somewhere. Then they turn their back just for a minute. And it's just like steel being drawn to a magnet. Just like steel being drawn to a magnet, those little kids, if you don't watch them, they end up in the mud puddle or in the dirt pile, and they get all dirty again. We come to church, we hear a Sunday school lesson, or we hear a sermon, and we get convicted of our sin. And we pray like David does in Psalm 51 when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And we get clean. But then we have to go out into the world and we get dirty all over again. You see, the world's a dirty place. The desires the world has is dirty. The priorities the world has is dirty. The pictures that the world wants to show you is dirty. The music that the world wants to play for you is dirty. And yet God says, I want you to be holy. I want you to be clean. And sometimes we look to heaven and we say, God, I know you want me to be clean. I know you want me to be holy, but I have to live in this old dirty world. How can I do it? And he comes back and he says, you do it the same way you stay clean physically. That's how you stay clean spiritually. How do you stay clean physically? Well, you take showers. You know, by the way, I've never understood how anybody could enjoy taking a bath. I mean a bath, I like a shower. I can never understand how you can get, you're in the water with all that dirt. I mean, how can you get clean? And I'm not against baths. I mean, if you're only going to take one or the other, take a bath. But I just never have understood. There's nothing that feels better than at the end of the day, especially when you've been working and sweating, to step into a hot shower with lots of soap and then come out like that commercial used to say, all squeaky clean. There's nothing better than that. Now, that's the same way we do it spiritually. We take a shower in the Word of God. In John chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says, now ye are clean through the Word. Through the Word. The Bible is the soap and the water that keeps us clean spiritually. Maybe that's why God says in the book of Joshua, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Maybe that's why God encourages us in the Bible over and over again to memorize the Scripture so that we can say like David did, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I'm not going to get into personal hygiene this morning, so don't worry about that. But it is unpleasant to be around people that only take one shower a week, especially if you're at day 5 or day 6. It's actually unpleasant to, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Dave? It's unpleasant to be around people that only take 2 showers a week. And it's even unpleasant to be around people that only take 3 showers a week. So, and here's my point. Don't depend on Sunday morning to stay clean. I mean, if the only time you get into this book is when you come on Sunday morning and hear it preached or hear it taught in Sunday school, don't depend on that to keep you clean the whole week. Don't depend on Sunday morning and Sunday night to keep you clean. You got 7 days in a week to live. Don't even depend on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to keep you clean. I've gotten to the point, and sometimes I say things in my message and I haven't thought about them, and then after I say them, I wish I hadn't said them. This may be one of them. But I've gotten to the point where I've enjoyed taking a shower in the morning and taking a shower at night. I take a shower in the morning to wake myself up. I take a shower at night to wash myself off. And I can't remember which one of the kids, when they were real little, they said, you're going to wear your skin out, Dad. I said, I don't think so. That's the way we should be with the Bible. We ought to get into it every day. In fact, I think you ought to get into it every morning. I think you ought to get into it every night. If you can squeeze some time in at lunch, you ought to do that. You ought to read it. You ought to study it. You ought to meditate on it. You ought to memorize it. You ought to bathe in it every single day. God wants us to be clean. And you remember Brother Walker, as he talked about the great lengths that the potter went to clean up the clay. God gives us this book to do that for us. Number 3, the third truth that God has just been rolling around in my heart and mind this week is this. It's the fire that makes us shine. It's the fire that makes us shine. Brother Walker talked about the potter's oven. and how he had to get it to a certain temperature and put the pottery in there to make it hard and to give it its shine. And isn't it strange? The very thing that makes us useful for God, going into that furnace, is the very things that is the very thing that most Christians want to avoid. The very thing that makes us shine for Jesus is the very thing that causes us sometimes to doubt that there is a God. The furnace, the trials, the heartaches, the heartbreaks. We don't want them in our life. We beg God and we say, God, please don't let them come into my life. And when they do, we question and we say, God, are you still there? God, do you still love me? And God, if you're still there and you still love me, then why did my little baby have to die? Or why did I have to get cancer? Or why did you take my husband? Or why did you put me into this situation? And instead of letting God do, and instead of letting God accomplish what he wants to accomplish in our life, we bow up and we fight him and we get mad at him, and some of us quit and want to drop out, and we sit back and we say, God, you're not changing me. I like the way I am, and you can keep putting all this pressure on me, but I am not going to let you have your way in my life. Why don't we just say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Why don't you just give in to the heavenly potter this morning? Why don't you just let him make you into the vessel that he wants you to be? And why don't you let him stick you in the furnace and turn the heat up so that you will shine for Jesus? Why don't we just say, I'm yours. You sought me. You bought me with your redeeming blood. You loved me ere I knew you, and all my love is due you. And so I'm going to yield myself to you. And if you want to put me in the furnace and turn up the heat, go ahead. If you want to bring trials and heartaches and heartbreaks into my life, go ahead. Because I want to be the vessel that you want me to be. And then, number four, Wednesday night was a great night. Number four, I want to be a vessel of honor and mercy. I want to be a vessel that God uses to give somebody a cool, clean drink of water as they travel through life. I want to be a vessel that can pour cold water on their feet and give them refreshment as they have to walk this hard life. I want to be a vessel of mercy and be able to tell somebody about how much Jesus loves them and how he went to the cross to pay for their sins. And how if they simply put their trust in him, he'll take every sin off their record and make them right with God. You see, I'm a sinner. Just an old, dirty, wicked sinner. And I don't deserve for one second the love of God or the mercy of God or the grace of God. I mean, even after I was saved, I've messed up hundreds, yea, thousands of times. And I'm so glad that we were reminded this week that God doesn't throw his clay away. That he wants to make us into vessels of honor so that we can give a drink of water or some water to wash somebody's feet. And you know, when Brother Walker was talking about that, I thought about that verse in Matthew where Jesus says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. And they said, Jesus, when did we do that to you? And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. As vessels of honor, we can give drinks of water to people that need a drink. As vessels of honor, we can help somebody bear their burdens. As vessels of mercy, we can tell them about our Savior. And I'm so glad that I have a God that doesn't give up on me. And by the way, he doesn't give up on you either. And I'm so glad that we have a God that's willing to use an old, dirty sinner to help somebody else in his name. If you're here this morning and you don't know the kind of God that I've been talking about, you've never been saved, then I'd invite you to come in just a moment when we have our invitation. We'll take this book and we'll introduce you to a Savior that loved you even before you had one thought about Him. We'll introduce you to a Savior who left the splendors of heaven, came and lived among us for 33 years, a perfect life, and then went to a cross to die for our sin. We'll introduce you to a Savior that can take all of those sins and wipe them off your record and make you right with your God. If you're here this morning and you don't belong to a church, you know, it's okay to come and visit. And we welcome everybody that comes and visit. But when you decide to say, hey, I think this is where God wants me to be, and I want to join up, and I want to be a part of this fellowship, this New Testament called out assembly of believers, I want to be a part of them. It changes your attitude. If you're here this morning and you don't have a church home and the Lord's leading you to this one, why don't you come during the invitation and say, we want to put our membership here. And then this morning, if you're a Christian and you're like that old piece of hard clay that's saying to the potter, you're not going to change me. I like it just the way I am, thank you. And God's got to get that knife and start to pick those hard places out and tear different pieces of you off. Why don't you just come this morning and break yourself and humble yourself before Him and say, dear God, I yield myself to you. I surrender myself to you. I want to be what you want me to be. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful truths that we were reminded of this week. Thank you for giving us hearts and minds that you can put them in and have us dwell upon them and meditate upon them and have us think about them. And I pray this morning for those that are here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I don't know how they can live their life apart from Him. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them. You would help them see how much Jesus loved them. And this morning they make that decision to trust Him. I pray for those Christians that you're wanting to make into a certain kind of vessel and they're fighting you. Oh, Father, break them this morning. Break them this morning. Have their will break. Have them surrender their will to you and put themselves in the hands of the holy heavenly potter and be molded into that vessel that you want them to be. Holy Spirit, would you bless the invitation? Would you speak to people? Would you have them do what you tell them to do? And we'll give Jesus all the glory. He deserves it. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.